HTTP cookie from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. This recording was last updated on April 10th, 2011. A cookie, also known as a web cookie, browser cookie, and HTTP cookie, is a piece of text stored on a user's computer by their web browser. A cookie can be used for authentication, storing site preferences, shopping cart contents, the identifier for a server-based session, or anything else that can be accomplished through storing text data. A cookie consists of one or more name-value pairs containing bits of information, which may be encrypted for information privacy and data security purposes. The cookie is sent as a field in the header of the HTTP response by a web server to a web browser, and then sent back unchanged by the browser each time it accesses that server. Cookies may be set by the server with or without an expiration date. Cookies without an expiration date exist until the browser terminates, while cookies with an expiration date may be stored by the browser until the expiration date passes. Users may also manually delete cookies in order to save space or to address privacy issues. As text, cookies are not executable. Because they are not executed, they cannot replicate themselves and are not viruses. However, due to the browser mechanism to set and read cookies, they can be used as spyware. See the articles Zombie Cookie and EverCookie for more details. Anti-spyware products may warn users about some cookies because cookies can be used to track computer activity, a privacy concern later causing possible malware. Most modern browsers allow users to decide whether to accept cookies and the time frame to keep them, but rejecting cookies makes some websites unusable. Contents. Section 1. History. Section 2. Terminologies. Section 3. Uses. Section 4. Implementation. Section 5. Misconceptions. Section 6. Browser settings. Section 7. Privacy and third-party cookies. Section 8. Cookie theft and session hijacking. Section 9. Drawbacks of cookies. Section 10. Alternatives to cookies. Section 1. History. The term cookie was derived from magic cookie, which is a packet of data a program receives and sends again unchanged. Magic cookies were already used in computing when computer programmer Lou Montulli had the idea of using them in web communications in June 1994. At the time, he was an employee of Netscape Communications, which was developing an e-commerce application for a customer. Cookies provided a solution to the problem of reliably implementing a virtual shopping cart. Together with John Gianandrea, Montulli wrote the initial Netscape cookie specification the same year. Version 0.9 beta of Mosaic Netscape, released on October 13, 1994, supported cookies. The first use of cookies out of the labs was checking whether visitors to the Netscape website had already visited the site. Montulli applied for a patent for the cookie technology in 1995, and US 577-4670 was granted in 1998. Support for cookies was integrated in Internet Explorer in version 2, released in October 1995. The introduction of cookies was not widely known to the public at the time. In particular, cookies were accepted by default, and users were not notified of the presence of cookies. Some people were aware of the existence of cookies as early as the first quarter of 1995, but the general public learned about them after the Financial Times published an article about them on February 12, 1996. In the same year, cookies received a lot of media attention, especially because of potential privacy implications. Cookies were discussed in two U.S. Federal Trade Commission hearings in 1996 and 1997. The development of the formal cookie specifications was already ongoing. In particular, the first discussions about a formal specification started in April 1995 on the WWW Talk mailing list. A special working group within the Internet Engineering Task Force was formed. Two alternative proposals for introducing state in HTTP transactions had been proposed by Brian Behlendorf and David Crystal, respectively, but the group, headed by Crystal himself, soon decided to use the Netscape specification as a starting point. On February 1996, the working group identified third-party cookies as a considerable privacy threat. The specification produced by the group was eventually published as RFC 2109 in February 1997. It specifies that third-party cookies were either not allowed at all, or at least not enabled by default. At this time, advertising companies were already using third-party cookies. The recommendation about third-party cookies of RFC 2109 was not followed by Netscape and Internet Explorer. RFC 2109 was superseded by RFC 2965 in October 2000. Section 2. Terminologies. Section 2.1. Session cookie. A session cookie only lasts for the duration of users using the website. It will expire either when a user closes his or her browser, or if a user hasn't visited the website for a certain period of time, called session idle timeout, in which case the server will expire or invalidate the user's session. Section 2.2. Persistent cookie. A persistent cookie will outlast user sessions. If a persistent cookie has its max age set to 1 year, then, within the year, the initial value set in that cookie would be sent back to the server every time the user is visiting the server. This could be used to record a vital piece of information, such as how the user initially came to this website. For this reason, persistent cookies are also called tracking cookies. Section 2.3. Secure cookie. A secure cookie is only used when a browser is visiting a server via HTTPS, ensuring that the cookie is always encrypted when transmitting from client to server. This makes the cookie less likely to be exposed to cookie theft via eavesdropping. Section 2.4. HTTP-only cookie. The HTTP-only cookie is still in IETF draft, though most of the modern browsers support it. On a supported browser, an HTTP-only cookie will only be used when transmitting HTTP or HTTPS requests. In addition, the cookie value is not available to client-side scripts, such as JavaScript, thereby mitigating the threat of cookie theft via cross-site scripting. Section 2.5. Third-party cookie. First-party cookies are cookies set with the same domain, or its subdomain, in your browser's address bar. Third-party cookies are cookies being set with different domains than the one shown on the address bar. For example, suppose a user visits www.example1.com, which sets a cookie with the domain add.foxytracking.com. When the user later visits www.example2.com, another cookie is set with the domain add.foxytracking.com. Eventually, both of these cookies will be sent to the advertiser when loading their ads or visiting their website. The advertiser can then use these cookies to build up a browsing history of the user across all the websites this advertiser has footprints on. Section 2.6. Super cookie. A super cookie is a cookie with a public suffix domain, like .com, .co.uk, or k12.ca.us. Most browsers, by default, allow first-party cookies, a cookie with the same domain or subdomain of the requesting host. For example, a user visiting www.example.com can have a cookie set with domain www.example.com or .example.com, but not .com. A super cookie with domain .com would be blocked by browsers. Otherwise, a malicious website, like attacker.com, could set a super cookie with domain .com and potentially disrupt or impersonate legitimate user requests to example.com. Unfortunately, the public suffix list keeps changing. Older versions of browsers will not have the most up-to-date list, and will therefore be vulnerable to certain supercookies. Section 2.7. Zombie Cookie. A zombie cookie is any cookie that is automatically recreated after a user has deleted it. This is accomplished by a script storing the content of the cookie in some other location, such as the local storage available to flash content, and then recreating it from the backup when the cookie's absence is detected. For more information on zombie cookies, please see the Wikipedia article Zombie Cookie. Section 3. Uses. Section 3.1. Session Management. Cookies may be used to maintain data related to the user during navigation, possibly across multiple visits. Cookies were introduced to provide a way to implement a shopping cart or shopping basket, a virtual device into which a user can store items he wants to purchase as he navigates the site. Shopping basket applications today usually store the list of basket contents in a database on the server side, rather than storing basket items in the cookie itself. A web server typically sends a cookie containing a unique session identifier. The web browser will send back that session identifier with each subsequent request, and shopping basket items are stored associated with a unique session identifier. Allowing users to log into a website is a frequent use of cookies. Typically, the web server will first send a cookie containing a unique session identifier. Users then submit their credentials, and the web application authenticates the session and allows the user access to services. Section 3.2. Personalization. Cookies may be used to remember the information about the user who has visited a website in order to show relevant content in the future. For example, a web server may send a cookie containing the username last used to log into a website so that it may be filled in for future visits. Many websites use cookies for personalization based on users' preferences. Users select their preferences by entering them in a web form and submitting the form to the server. The server encodes the preferences in a cookie and sends the cookie back to the browser. This way, every time the user accesses a page, the server is also sent the cookie where the preferences are stored and can personalize the page according to the user preferences. For example, the Wikipedia website allows authenticated users to choose the web page skin they like best. The Google search engine allows users, even non-registered ones, to decide how many search results per page they want to see. Section 3.3. Tracking. Tracking cookies may be used to track internet users' web browsing habits. This can also be done, in part, by using the IP address of the computer requesting the page or the referrer field of the HTTP request header, but cookies allow for a greater precision. This can be demonstrated as follows. Step 1. If the user requests a page of the site, but the request contains no cookie, the server presumes that this is the first page visited by the user. The server creates a random string and sends it as a cookie back to the browser, together with the requested page. And step 2. From this point on, the cookie will be automatically sent by the browser to the server every time a new page from the site is requested. The server sends the page as usual, but also stores the URL of the requested page, the date and time of the request, and the cookie in a log file. By looking at the log file, it is then possible to find out which pages the user has visited and in what sequence. Section 4. Implementation. Cookies are arbitrary pieces of data chosen by the web server and sent to the browser. The browser returns them unchanged to the server, introducing a state, memory of previous events, into otherwise stateless HTTP transactions. Without cookies, each retrieval of a web page or component of a web page is an isolated event, mostly unrelated to all other views of the pages of the same site. Other than being sent by a web server, cookies can also be sent by a script in a language such as JavaScript, if supported and enabled by the web browser. Cookie specifications suggest that browsers should be able to save and send back a minimal number of cookies. In particular, an internet browser is expected to be able to store at least 300 cookies of 4 kilobytes each, and at least 20 cookies per server or domain. Section 4.1, Setting a Cookie. Transfer of web pages follows the Hypertext Transfer Protocol, or HTTP. Regardless of cookies, browsers request a page from web servers by sending them a usually short text called HTTP request. The server replies by sending the requested page, preceded by a similar packet of text called HTTP response. If the server wants the browser to store a cookie, the server includes a line of text in the response, beginning with the keyword set cookie. The server sends lines of set cookie only if the server wishes the browser to store cookies. Set cookie is a directive for the browser to store the cookie and send it back in future requests to the server, subject to expiration time or other cookie attributes, if the browser supports cookies and cookies are enabled. The value of a cookie can be modified by the server by sending a new set cookie line in the response of a page request. The browser then replaces the old value with a new one. The term cookie crumb is sometimes used to refer to the name value pair. This is not the same as breadcrumb web navigation, which is the technique of showing in each page the list of pages the user has previously visited. This technique may, however, be implemented using cookies. Cookies can also be set by JavaScript or by similar scripts running within the browser. In JavaScript, the object document.cookie is used for this purpose. For example, the instruction document.cookie equals, quote, temperature equals 20, unquote, creates a cookie of name temperature and value 20. Section 4.2, Cookie Attributes. Besides the name value pair, servers can also set these cookie attributes: a cookie domain, a path, expiration time or maximum age, secure flag, and HTTP only flag. Browsers will not send cookie attributes back to the server. They will only send the cookie's name value pair. Cookie attributes are used by browsers to determine when to delete a cookie, block a cookie, or whether to send a cookie, name value pair, to the servers. Section 4.2.1, Domain and Path. The cookie domain and path define the scope of the cookie. They tell the browser that cookies should only be sent back to the server for the given domain and path. If not specified, they default to the domain and path of the object that was requested. Please see the Wikipedia page for an example of a list of set cookie directives from a website after a user logs in. The first cookie, LSID, has default domain docs.foo.com and path /accounts, which tells the browser to use the cookie only when requesting pages contained in docs.foo.com/accounts. The other two cookies, HSID and SSID, would be sent back by the browser while requesting any subdomain in .foo.com on any path, for example, www.foo.com. Section 4.2.2, Expires and Max Age. The expires directive tells the browser when to delete the cookie. It is specified in a particular format, indicating the exact date and time this cookie will expire. As an alternative to setting cookie expiration as an absolute date or time, RFC 2965 allows the use of the max age attribute to set the cookie's expiration as an interval of seconds in the future, relative to the time the browser received the cookie. Please see the Wikipedia article for an example of a list of set cookie directives from a website after a user logs in. The first cookie, LU, is set to expire sometime in 15 January 2013. It will be used by the client browser until that time. The second cookie, made write con, does not have an expiration date, making it a session cookie. It will be deleted after the user closes his or her browser. The third cookie, regfbgate, has its value changed to deleted, with an expiration time in the past. The browser will delete this cookie right away. Note that the cookie will only be deleted when the domain and path attributes in the setCookie field match the values used when the cookie was created. Section 4.2.3, Secure and HTTP Only. Secure and HTTP Only attributes do not have a value field. The existence of these attributes are Boolean flags, telling the browser whether the cookie possesses those attributes. A secure attribute tells the browser to only use this cookie via secure or encrypted connections. Obviously, web servers should also set this cookie via secure channels, and therefore, anyone eavesdropping on your communication would not pick up the cookie. An HTTP-only attribute tells the browser to only use the cookie for the HTTP protocol. The cookie is not visible to client-side scripts, and therefore cannot be stolen via cross-site scripting, a pervasive attack vector. As shown in previous examples, both Facebook and Google use the HTTP-only attribute extensively. Section 5. Misconceptions. Since their introduction on the Internet, misconceptions about cookies have circulated on the Internet and in the media. In 1998, CIAC, a Computer Incident Response Team of the United States Department of Energy, found the security vulnerability essentially non-existent, and explained that information about where you come from and what web pages you visit already exist in a web server's log files. In 2005, Jupiter Research published the results of a survey, according to which a consistent percentage of respondents believed some of the following false claims. The following are false. Cookies are like worms and viruses in that they can erase data from the user's hard disks. Cookies generate pop-ups. Cookies are used for spamming. And cookies are only used for advertising. According to the same survey, a large percentage of internet users do not know how to delete cookies. Cookies cannot erase or read arbitrary information from the user's computer. However, cookies allow for detecting the web pages viewed by a user on a given site or set of sites. Section 6. Browser Settings. Most modern browsers support cookies and allow the user to disable them. The following are common options. 1. To enable or disable cookies completely so that they are always accepted or always blocked. 2. To allow the user to see the cookies that are active with respect to a given page by typing some JavaScript code in the browser URL field. Some browsers incorporate a cookie manager for the user to see and selectively delete the cookies currently stored in the browser. And 3. By default, Internet Explorer allows only third-party cookies that are accompanied by a P3PCP compact policy field. Most browsers also allow a full wipe of private data, including cookies. Add-on tools for managing cookie permissions also exist. Section 7. Privacy and Third-Party Cookies. Cookies have some important implications on the privacy and anonymity of web users. While cookies are only sent to the server sending them, or one in the same internet domain, a web page may contain images or other components stored on servers in other domains. Cookies that are set during retrieval of these components are called third-party cookies. The standards for cookies, RFC 2109 and RFC 2965, specify that browsers should protect user privacy and not allow third-party cookies by default. But most browsers, such as Mozilla Firefox, Internet Explorer, Opera, and Google Chrome, do allow third-party cookies by default, as long as the third-party website has Compact Privacy Policy published. Advertising companies use third-party cookies to track a user across multiple sites. In particular, an advertising company can track a user across all pages where it has placed advertising images or web bugs. Knowledge of the pages visited by a user allows the advertisement company to target advertisement to the user's presumed preferences. Website operators who do not disclose third-party cookie use to consumers run the risk of harming consumer trust if cookie use is discovered. Having clear disclosure, such as in a privacy policy, tends to eliminate any negative effects of such cookie discovery.
The possibility of building a profile of users is considered by some a potential privacy threat, especially when tracking is done across multiple domains using third-party cookies. For this reason, some countries have legislation about cookies. The United States government has set strict rules on setting cookies in 2000 after it was disclosed that the White House Drug Policy Office used cookies to track computer users viewing its online anti-drug advertising.
In 2002, privacy activist Daniel Brandt found that the CIA had been leaving persistent cookies on computers which had visited its website.
When notified it was violating policy, CIA stated that these cookies were not intentionally set and stopped sending them. On December 25, 2005, Brandt discovered that the National Security Agency had been leaving two persistent cookies on visitors' computers due to a software upgrade. After being informed, the National Security Agency immediately disabled the cookies. The 2002 European Union Telecommunication Privacy Directive contains rules about the use of cookies. In particular, Article 5, Paragraph 3 of this directive mandates that storing data, like cookies, in a user's computer can only be done if, 1, the user is provided information about how this data is used, and 2, the user is given the possibility of denying this storing operation. However, this article also states that storing data that is necessary for technical reasons is exempt from this rule. This directive was expected to have been applied since October 2003, but a December 2004 report says on page 38 that this provision was not applied in practice, and that some member countries, Slovakia, Latvia, Greece, Belgium, and Luxembourg, did not even implement the provision in national law. The same report suggests a thorough analysis of the situation in the member states. The P3P specification includes the possibility for a server to state a privacy policy, which specifies which kind of information it collects and for what purpose. These policies include, but are not limited to, the use of information gathered using cookies. According to the P3P specification, a browser can accept or reject cookies by comparing the privacy policy with the stored user preferences, or ask the user, presenting them the privacy policy as declared by the server. Many web browsers, including Apple Safari and Microsoft Internet Explorer versions 6 and 7, support P3P, which allows the web browser to determine whether to allow third-party cookies to be stored. The Opera web browser allows users to refuse third-party cookies and to create global and specific security policies for Internet domains. Firefox version 2 dropped this option from its menu system, but restored it with the release of version 3. Third-party cookies can be blocked by most browsers to increase privacy and reduce tracking by advertising and tracking companies without negatively affecting the user's web experience.
Many advertising operators have an opt-out option to behavioral advertising, with a generic cookie in the browser stopping behavioral advertising. Section 8. Cookie Theft and Session Hijacking. Most websites use cookies as the only identifiers for user sessions, because other methods of identifying web users have limitations and vulnerabilities. If a website uses cookies as session identifiers, attackers can impersonate users' requests by stealing a full set of victims' cookies. From the web server's point of view, a request from an attacker has the same authentication as the victim's requests. Thus, the request is performed on behalf of the victim's session. Listed here are various scenarios of cookie theft and user session hijacking, even without stealing user cookies, which work with websites which rely solely on HTTP cookies for user identification. Section 8.1. Network Eavesdropping. Traffic on a network can be intercepted and read by computers on the network other than the sender and receiver, particularly over unencrypted open Wi-Fi. This traffic includes cookies sent on ordinary unencrypted HTTP sessions. where network traffic is not encrypted, attackers can therefore read the communications of other users on the network, including HTTP cookies, as well as the entire contents of the conversations. An attacker could use intercepted cookies to impersonate a user and perform a malicious task, such as transferring money out of the victim's bank account. This issue can be resolved by securing the communication between the user's computer and the server by employing transport layer security, the HTTPS protocol, to encrypt the connection. A server can specify the secure flag while setting a cookie, which will cause the browser to send the cookie only over an encrypted channel, such as an SSL connection. Section 8.2, Publishing False Subdomain, DNS Cache Poisoning. Via DNS cache poisoning, an attacker might be able to cause a DNS server to cache a fabricated DNS entry, say f12345.www.example.com, with the attacker's server IP address. The attacker can then post an image URL from his own server, for example, http://f12345.www.example.com/image4cookie.jpg. Victims reading the attacker's message would download this image from f12345.www.example.com. Since f12345.www.example.com is a subdomain of www.example.com, victims' browsers would submit all example.com-related cookies to the attacker's server. The compromised cookies would also include HTTP-only cookies. This vulnerability is usually for internet service providers to fix by securing their DNS servers. But it can also be mitigated if www.example.com is using secure cookies. Victims' browsers will not submit secure cookies if the attacker's image is not using encrypted connections. If the attacker chose to use HTTPS for his image4cookie.jpg download, he would have the challenge of obtaining an SSL certificate for f12345.www.example.com from a certificate authority. Without a proper SSL certificate, victims' browsers would display, usually very visible, warning messages about the invalid certificate, thus alerting victims as well as security officials from www.example.com. Section 8.3, Cross-Site Scripting, Cookie Theft. Scripting languages such as JavaScript and JScript are usually allowed to access cookie values and have some means to send arbitrary values to arbitrary servers on the internet. These facts are used in combination with sites allowing users to post HTML content that other users can see. As an example, an attacker may post a message on www.example.com with the following link. Please see the Wikipedia page for a code sample of this link. When another user clicks on this link, the browser executes the piece of code within the onClick attribute, thus replacing the string document.cookie with the list of cookies of the user that are active for the page. As a result, this list of cookies is sent to the attacker.com server. If the attacker's posting is on https://www.example.com/somewhere, secure cookies will also be sent to attacker.com in plain text. Cross-site scripting is a constant threat, as there are always some crackers trying to find a way of slipping in script tags to websites. It is the responsibility of the website developers to filter out such malicious code. In the meantime, such attacks can be mitigated by using HTTP-only cookies. These cookies will not be accessible by client-side script, and therefore the attacker will not be able to gather these cookies. Section 8.4, Cross-Site Scripting, Just Do It. If an attacker was able to insert a piece of script to a page on www.example.com, and a victim's browser was able to execute the script could simply carry out the attack. this attack would use the victim's browser to send HTTP requests to the server directly. Therefore, the victim's browser would submit all relevant cookies, including HTTP-only cookies, as well as secure cookies, if the script request is on HTTPS. For example, on MySpace, Sammy posted a short message, "Sammy is my hero," on his profile, with a hidden script to send Sammy a friend request, and then post the same message on the victim's profile. A user reading Sammy's profile would send Sammy a friend request and post the same message on this person's profile. Then, the third person reading the second person's profile would do the same. Pretty soon, this Sammy worm became one of the fastest spreading viruses of all time. This type of attack, with automated scripts, would not work if a website had CAPTCHA to challenge client requests. Section 8.5, Cross-Site Scripting, Proxy Request. In older versions of browsers, there were security holes allowing attackers to script a proxy request by using XML HTTP request. For example, a victim is reading an attacker's posting on www.example.com, and the attacker's script is executed in the victim's browser. The script generates a request to www.example.com with proxy server attacker.com. Since the request is for www.example.com, all example.com cookies will be sent along with the request, but routed through the attacker's proxy server. Hence, the attacker can harvest the victim's cookies. This attack would not work for secure cookies, since secure cookies go with HTTPS connections, and its protocol dictates end-to-end encryption, i.e., the information is encrypted on the user's browser and decrypted on the destination server www.example.com, so the proxy servers would only see encrypted bits and bytes. Section 8.6, Cross-Site Request Forgery. For example, Bob might be browsing a chat forum where another user, Mallory, has posted a message. Suppose that Mallory has crafted an HTML image element that references an action on Bob's bank website, rather than an image file. If Bob's bank keeps his authentication information in a cookie, and if the cookie hasn't expired, then the attempt by Bob's browser to load the image will submit the withdrawal form with his cookie, thus authorizing a transaction without Bob's approval. For more information, please see the Wikipedia article Cross-Site Request Forgery. Section 9, Drawbacks of Cookies. Besides privacy concerns, cookies also have some technical drawbacks. In particular, they do not always accurately identify users, they can be used for security attacks, and they are often at odds with the representational state transfer, REST, software architectural style. Section 9.1, Inaccurate Identification. If more than one browser is used on the computer, each usually has a separate storage area for cookies. Hence, cookies do not identify a person, but a combination of a user account, a computer, and a web browser. Thus, anyone who uses multiple accounts, computers, or browsers has multiple sets of cookies. Likewise, cookies do not differentiate between multiple users who share the same user account, computer, and browser. Section 9.2, Inconsistent State on Client and Server. The use of cookies may generate an inconsistency between the state of the client and the state as stored in the cookie. If the user acquires a cookie and then clicks the Back button of the browser, the state on the browser is generally not the same as before that acquisition. As an example, if the shopping cart of an online shop is built using cookies, the content of the cart may not change when the user goes back in the browser's history. If the user presses a button to add an item in the shopping cart and then clicks on the Back button, the item remains in the shopping cart. This might not be the intention of the user, who has possibly wanted to undo the addition of the item. This can lead to unreliability, confusion, and bugs. Web developers should therefore be aware of this issue and implement measures to handle such situations as this. Section 10, Alternatives to Cookies. Some of the operations that can be done using cookies can also be done using other mechanisms. Section 10.1, IP address. Users may be tracked based on the IP address of the computer requesting the page. This technique has been available since the introduction of the World Wide Web, as downloading pages requires the server to know the IP address of the computer running the browser or the proxy, if any is used.
The server can log this information regardless of whether cookies are used or not. However, these addresses are typically less reliable in identifying a user than cookies, because computers and proxies may be shared by several users, and the same computer may be assigned different IP addresses in different work sessions, as is often the case for dial-up connections.
Tracking by IP addresses can be reliable in some situations, such as the case of always-on broadband connections, which retain the same IP address for long periods of time, so long as the power stays on. Some systems, such as Tor, are designed to retain internet anonymity and make tracking by IP address impractical or impossible.
IP addresses are, in certain jurisdictions, treated as personally identifiable information, and, as such, subject to use under legal restrictions.
Section 10.2, URL, Query String.
A more precise technique is based on embedding information into URLs. The query string part of the URL is the one that is typically used for this purpose, but other parts can be used as well. The Java servlet and PHP session mechanisms both use this method if cookies are not enabled. This method consists of the web server appending query strings to the links of a web page it holds when sending it to a browser. When this user follows a link, the browser returns the attached query string to the server. Query strings used in this way and cookies are very similar, both being arbitrary pieces of information chosen by the server and sent back by the browser. However, there are some differences. Since a query string is part of a URL, if that URL is later reused, the same attached piece of information is sent to the server. For example, if the preferences of a user are encoded in the query string of a URL, and the user sends this URL to another user by email, those preferences will be used for that other user as well. Moreover, if the same user accesses the same page two times, there is no guarantee that the same query string is used in both views. For example, if the same user arrives to the same page, but coming from a page internal to the site for the first time, and from an external search engine for the second time, the relative query strings are typically different, while the cookies would be the same. Other drawbacks of query strings are related to security. Storing data that identifies a session in a query string enables or simplifies session fixation attacks, referrer logging attacks, and other security exploits. Transferring session identifiers as HTTP cookies is more secure.
Section 10.3, Hidden Form Fields. Another form of session tracking is to use web forms with hidden fields.
This technique is very similar to using URL query strings to hold the information, and has many of the same advantages and drawbacks. And if the form is handled with the HTTP GET method, the fields actually become part of the URL the browser will send upon form submission. But most forms are handled with HTTP POST, which causes the form information, including hidden fields, to be appended as extra input that is neither part of the URL nor of a cookie. This approach presents two advantages from the point of view of the tracker. First, having the tracking information placed in the HTML source and POST input rather than in the URL means it will not be noticed by the average user. Second, the session information is not copied when the user copies the URL, to save the page on disk or send it via email, for example.
This method can be easily used with any framework that supports web forms. Section 10.4, Window.name.
All current web browsers can store a fairly large amount of data, 2 to 32 megabytes, via JavaScript, using the DOM property window.name. This data can be used instead of session cookies and is also cross-domain. The technique can be coupled with JSON or JavaScript objects to store complex sets of session variables on the client side. The downside is that every separate window or tab will initially have an empty window.name. In times of tab browsing, this means that individually opened tabs, initiated by the user, will not have a window name. Furthermore, window.name can be used for tracking visitors across different websites, making it of concern for internet privacy.
In some respects, this can be more secure than cookies, due to not involving the server, so it is not vulnerable to network cookie sniffing attacks. However, if special measures are not taken to protect the data, it is vulnerable to other attacks because the data is available across different websites open in the same window or tab.
Section 10.5, HTTP Authentication. The HTTP protocol includes the Basic Access Authentication and the Digest Access Authentication protocols, which allow access to a web page only when the user has provided the correct username and password.
If the server requires such credentials for granting access to a web page, the browser requests them from the user, and, once obtained, the browser stores and sends them in every subsequent page request. This information can be used to track the user.
Section 10.6, Adobe Flash Local Shared Objects. If a browser includes the Adobe Flash Player plugin, formerly developed by Macromedia, the Local Shared Objects, or Flash Cookies, functionality can be used in a way very similar to cookies. Local stored objects may be an attractive choice to web developers because the majority of Windows users have Flash Player installed, the default size limit is 100 kilobytes, and the security controls are distinct from the user controls for cookies, so local stored objects may be enabled when cookies are not.
In some cases, websites have created Flash LSOs that behave differently than what a user specifies for his HTTP cookies, which has raised concern that websites need to specify a consistent privacy policy across different types of cookies.
The major drawback with this approach is the same as every platform vendor-specific approach. It breaks the web's global accessibility and interoperability, tying up web development to a specific client's platform, excluding users who use standards-compliant web user agents, and instead forcing them to use platform vendor-specific web agents,
which perpetuates vendor lock-in. HTML5, which has many of the same functionalities as Flash, and which is gradually being implemented on the web, fixes some of the long-standing problems with the Flash platform by making many aspects of Flash functionality available via standard web interfaces.
Section 10.7, Client-Side Persistence. Some web browsers support a script-based persistence mechanism that allows the page to store information locally for later retrieval. Internet Explorer, for example, supports persisting information in the browser's history, in favorites, in an XML store, or directly within a web page saved to disk. With HTML5, there will be a DOM storage, local storage, method, currently only supported by some browsers. For Internet Explorer version 5 and above, there is a user data method available through DHTML behaviors. A different mechanism relies on browsers normally caching, holding in memory instead of reloading, JavaScript programs used in web pages. As an example, a page may reference a JavaScript program. The first time this page is loaded, the program is loaded as well. At this point, the program remains cached and is not reloaded the second time the page is visited. As a result, if this program contains a global variable, this identifier remains valid and can be exploited by other JavaScript code the next time the page is loaded, or another page linking to the same program is loaded.
The major drawback of this method is that the global JavaScript variable must be final, meaning that it cannot be changed or deleted persistently like a cookie.
You have just finished listening to HTTP Cookie from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. This sound file was last updated on April 10th, 2011, by Wikipedia user Mengst.
This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 Unported License, available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0.